Old pirates, yes, they rob I, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the end of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs.
That was great, Mateo.
Thank you, little Bob Marley. I just watched the documentary One Love.
Yeah.
It's on a doc. It's a movie. It's about a movie. His life. Yeah, it's pretty good. Eh?
I wanted more.
Yeah.
I don't think they dove into it enough.
No,
I know there was so much that didn't show.
Yeah, I think there's like, they could make a whole like series about it.
One Love. This is a great one.
So, Irie, man.
Thank you, man. Thanks for opening up the show. Good to see you again.
Yeah, likewise.
It's been a while. So it's like been a long, long, long time, man. It's
been like 2 years.
When did you guys officially take off?
It was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of pivots and figuring things out along the way.
Things have changed for the much better.
Yeah, things have changed a lot. Yeah.
We're going to have an interesting show. We're going to talk about changing the industry.
Yeah, I like it.
That's what we're going to talk about, right? So we got Mateo here from UBuild. It's spelled UBILD. And it's basically the UBuild app. You can find them at UBuildApp.com.
That's right.
And also you can reach them directly under Mateo at UBuild.ai. And then find them on IG under UBuild.ai as well. And what do I want to say? There was something I totally forgot to say. I can't remember. It'll come to me, man. It's been a long time. I think you did the show 200 and something, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Trying to think.
Yeah.
We're in the 650s now.
Wow. That's wild.
It's a lot of conversations in construction.
Yeah.
I had a comment today on social. I'm trying to remember. It was Luso Roofing. He was like going, Manny, you're actually making sense on some of the stuff that you say, right? And I was like, listen, man, I just bring the people who are smarter than me into the show, and then I listen to what they're saying, and it makes sense to me, then I share.
Yeah.
If I come across smart because of that, then I'm good with that.
Yeah,
but
it's cool. So many people have different perspectives in the industry, right? It's just like the construction is such a huge field, so many different trade types, you know, sectors within it, you know.
But I will say, you know, you probably... Obviously, the economy, just the way it's funny, like a lot of people reach out to me and I've been saying that this is what's going on right now is going to happen 2 years ago, mm-hmm. 2.5 years ago. I was saying this is what's going to happen. Right. And now it's happening. And everyone's like, how are you predicting this stuff? I'm like, I'm not predicting. I'm just paying attention. But I will also say that now is a great opportunity to figure out your business and figure out how to move forward and be more efficient. Because I think that we had a really serious high mm-hmm. during the pandemic years. Lots of people were getting all kinds of work. Lots of homeowners and clients were building. And we didn't have really time and effort to sit down and catch our breath and figure out, how do I move my business forward much better? So you can look at the economy right now, the state of construction right now, who's not working, what projects are not going forward. And you can look at it like, okay, that's a negative, or you can look at it like it's a positive and there's an opportunity here to redirect your business, to build your business in a different mindset, which I think you should be doing. If you're a tradesperson, you got a small mom and pop business or a big business, that here's an opportunity to try some new ideas, right?
For sure. I mean, we've seen it, like the tree has been shaken, right?
Yeah.
You know, like anyone in a boom time, anyone can build, you know, anyone can build a business and make money. But it's like, yeah, when times get tough, you have to lock down, be more efficient. Like, how do you operate and how do you treat your people as well? Right. Like, how do you keep your teams together when you don't have enough work?
Yeah.
And it's interesting. We've seen a lot of things, and like, I have an interesting perspective because we work with a lot of different companies, all different sizes. So we have kind of this different viewpoint, and we can see when work is picking up and what sectors, when and where. So it's interesting. Yeah. Things seem to be picking back up from what we're seeing, at least. Maybe our customers are just getting busy for,
I think they're getting more efficient. I think they're understanding the business. I think they're trying to, I just don't know if it's everybody or if it's the old cats or it's the new guard. Mm-hmm. I think it's everybody. There's a piece of it, but I'm also, in the same respect, I'm getting approached by a lot of tradespeople that are unfortunately folding up. And they're looking at, I'm going to go find employment so mm-hmm. then I don't have to worry about this overhead, because there is a lot of stress during this time, right? Which is unfortunate, but that's why I think it's not such a negative these days, right? There's opportunity here. You just have to figure out how you want to place that opportunity.
Yeah, and we're seeing that. Like, a lot of the companies that we used to work with, these smaller shops that were using UBuild to hire workers, are actually now signing up as worker profiles on the app to find work. So it's interesting, and we're seeing different things happening. A lot of what we're seeing is like kind of those smaller contractors that are doing small renos or kitchens or bathrooms are now seeking employment at some bigger shops.
They want fewer headaches.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame them. Like, everyone wants to scale their business, but they don't actually ask themselves why. It's like, why?
Good point.
You know, do you want the headache? Like, I've gone through this battle with UBuild for a long time. It's like, I want to build this massive $1 billion company, and then I'm like, why? It's like, oh wait, yeah, nobody that's a lot of headache.
Smell
I'm like,
roses. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Because when you start to scale, the problems just they don't go away.
Yeah.
They just amplify and they change, and you know, you have to ask yourself. And like, the why for us is, you know, it's what keeps us going, right? We want to make an impact on the industry. We want to bring the industry into the future. And that's what we've been doing. That's what keeps us moving forward.
I want you to, because I know it's been a while since you've been on the show, and it's still fun that I get, you know, messages from people saying that I found you, I'm listening to the new shows. I started from the beginning, and they kind of worked their way through the whole thing. And it's just, it's like this running joke for me where there's like 42 days straight of content. If you were to turn on TCL, listen to the first one and go to the present one, you'd have 42 days worth of content to listen to. Good luck on that. But sometimes people don't listen to the past. So I'd love for you to give them just a brief on why you started UBuild, why you started this whole thing, and the behind the scenes on why we needed this. You know what I mean?
I started in the industry, I don't know, like I was like a kid, like knocking on people's doors, mowing their lawns. That's the way I see my career starting. Like, I'm sure a lot of people, you know, started mowing lawns, doing landscaping jobs, started to gain more skills, became a subcontractor, like doing small demo jobs, landscaping jobs for builders and homeowners at the same time. So I worked on a lot of different jobs, like from the ground up, started to take on my own renovations as a GC. So I know I was a young GC at the time, you know, early 20s, like it's hard to build a business when you don't have connections in the industry. And it was just really hard to find workers and to build skilled teams.
I'd say it's really hard to find good workers.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
Right. It's fine. It's easy to find workers.
Yeah, exactly. And after that, after working as a GC, I also started another tech company. It was a platform connecting homeowners and contractors. So for small jobs, I was basically just a marketplace connecting the two. And I've been involved in probably thousands of different projects just because of my technology.
The connection.
It's a lot of connections. And so I just saw over and over again, these projects running over time and budget. And I was just seeing, and I was like, I worked in every position as well. And I knew, I was like, okay, these people can't find skilled workers. It's why a lot of these jobs are running over time and budget. You know, it's hard to find skilled workers. It's hard to train and retain people on your teams.
Yep.
And so there's this really high turnover rate, low productivity in construction as a whole. And that's ultimately what inspired us to create UBuild, is to, you know, have an impact, help builders be more productive, help workers gain new skills, and, you know, help employers build and retain skilled teams. That's like ultimately what we're trying to do, and, you know, leverage modern technology to bring the industry into the future.
Is the industry embracing that, or are they nervous about it?
Definitely nervous about it to start. So when we launched our first app, there's maybe 5 or 10% of the bookings were actually going through the app.
Okay.
The rest were just calling and or texting us because they didn't trust an app to do something as important as hiring for them.
Yeah.
And so we found ourselves like, okay, well, we have this technology that we're using in the background, but it's they're interacting with humans. And then we started to think like, there's actually nothing wrong with that. You know, people want to trust a human. It's like, so we started leveraging the technology in the back end. And then now with the entrance of AI into the industry, it's like, hold on. Now these builders can actually talk to an AI agent that can do the job actually better than a human can.
So they can be in their work vehicle, running their day, running the biz, and then all of a sudden make the connection and start speaking to somebody.
Yeah.
They can call
an AI bot that can do their work for them on the back end. And this is, you know, we'll get into it about UBuild specifically, but this is where the industry is going. I can see it. AI is taking over every aspect of at least administrative tasks. And I think the builders, like you said, who can be more efficient is really going to tell who can keep a business running. I think it's like, who's going to adopt AI into their companies and leverage it in a meaningful way. to be efficient.
When you're balancing a material, like when you're looking at it, you've got the old school tradesperson. How would they normally find a new hire or somebody that they need to perform tasks on a specific job? What's the go-to way that they've been so used to doing it?
I mean, a lot of people, it's through word of mouth, right?
Yeah.
You know, trades know other trades.
And you know a guy. Do you know a guy?
But do you know a guy only works so much?
Yeah.
You know? And so then people go to generic job boards like Indeed.
Yep.
You know? You post a job on Indeed.
You get 100 misses.
Yeah. No, 100. Yeah, exactly. 100 applicants. And then you have to manually sift through 100 resumes.
Yeah.
And you're a busy GC. You don't have time to sift through these resumes, determine if someone's a good fit or not. And then you have to interview all these people to determine if they're a cultural fit and that they have the skills. And then beyond that, you have to actually bring them on the job site to see if they can actually do the job.
Yep.
And then, you know, sometimes it works. Sometimes you have to send them home and restart that process. And it's like, that's just like so painfully inefficient. And it like, I went through that on both sides of it. I was applying to jobs on Indeed and I was looking, and it was just like the worst experience. And I knew that we could leverage AI and we could leverage technology to do it in a better way. So that's what we're doing with YouBuild, is we're automating hiring. And we're essentially, you as a builder, you come to YouBuild, you create a job using AI. It takes you like 30 seconds. That'll then post the job out to thousands of different workers. Yeah. These workers have created profiles that have their experience, their skills, tools, certifications. And they actually have to go through an AI-based interview to assess those skills. So the candidates and the applicants you're getting for the jobs you post on YouBuild have already been verified and assessed. So you're actually able to view their profiles and be like, oh, okay, this person, I trust that YouBuild's already interviewed them. They're an expert in, you know, pocket doors, let's say, or intermediate in, you know, bulkheads. And it's just so much more efficient to hire, knowing that, you know, you're getting people that actually know what they're doing.
Do you guys know, because I'm trying to get an idea where there might be a sweet spot when it comes to tradespeople, when they just had enough, my hands are up, I'm done, I'm tired, this is like, this is more frustrating, I'll just do it myself kind of mentality. Every tradesperson gets to that point, right? Like, is there some sort of data that tells you, okay, it's a day, it's 2 weeks, it's whatever it is?
Yeah, I mean, from what we found is that when someone comes to YouBuild when they're basically, they've given up.
Yeah.
With these other jobs.
They've gone through everything.
They don't have any other options. They need to fill a role ASAP because time is money. They need to get someone on the job. And so we see turning, like we were able to turn around and fill roles within like 24 hours or less, within hours. And so it's amazing. Like,
seeing, and I'm laughing because I'm that old school guy that either has gone through it or I've seen the guys go through it. All the tradespeople go through it. The frustration associated with it, right?
Yeah, and it's sad when you see someone demoralized because they can't find people to build their business, and they've spent 20 years in the trades and they have the skill set to build a company, but they just, the only thing that's in the way is that they can't assemble a team of skilled people. It's like, that shouldn't be the bottleneck between you and growing your business.
No, but it is these days.
And it is. And it's, if you actually look at the stats, it's like, construction is one of the industries that's highly fragmented. So it's actually made up of a bunch of small companies.
Yeah.
Like 90% of companies in construction have 10 or less employees.
Yep.
And so it's like, is that by design? Is that, why is that? Why are that, you know? So it's interesting.
I think it goes back to your thought, what you said earlier, is that they just get this frustration point and they want to grow. We all build a business and build structures because we want to grow them to the next level. Mm-hmm. But we know that we need certain details, and workforce is one of them.
Yeah.
And we can't find the workforce, right? And you're 100% right. I know a guy mentality only has gone so far. I think it might even just be disappearing these days because they've given up on it.
Well, and 40% of construction workers right now are set to retire in the next like 10 years. We'll get into all that.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, the new age of people, they don't even know a guy who knows a guy. So it's like, how do you build a business when you don't know a guy?
I want you to let's do the sample thing. I want you to just let everybody know about the AI, where, how easy it is. You're in your truck, whatever, you get to the web app and all of a sudden you start this process.
Yeah. So I'll show you guys like a worker interview. So this is a worker that, is verifying their skills. Restart the interview.
Understood. Let's start from the top. First question. Can you walk me through your experience with power tool operation? Specifically, what types of power tools have you used, and how have you applied them in your work?
I've worked in the industry for a long time. I've used all kinds of different tools, drills, circular saws, reciprocating saws, jackhammers. I could go on forever, but you know, talk about a reciprocating saw to start.
Great. Let's focus on the reciprocating saw. Could you explain the process you follow to safely set up and operate a reciprocating saw on a job site?
What?
Specifically, what steps do you take to prepare, and what safety measures do you consider?
Yeah, so I first make sure that I'm wearing all my PPE to start. First and foremost, I make sure that the material that I'm cutting, I can use a Sawzall 4, and I'll make sure that I'm using the right blade. So if I'm cutting through wood, I'll make sure I'm using my wood blade. Check, make sure that the clasp is closed and tight and that it's all safe and not going to rebound. So you can see it's the AI conducts this interview, and then it's going to assess my skill level in each specific skill. And it's then going to put those skills onto my profile. So these workers will do this one skill interview. So they do one interview and they can apply for however many jobs they need. So if you look at it from the worker side, it's like, now I don't need to interview with 100 different companies. I can use one interview that assesses things in an objective way. And we didn't get into it, but it gets a lot deeper.
No, you just started it, but you did ask a question that's relevant to ask. Mm-hmm. My only thought process is, instead of you saying reciprocating saw, what if you did say like Sawzall? What if you use slang terminology?
Yeah, so our AI is trained in construction slang.
Really?
Oh yeah, we've like this stuff gets deep. It's a rabbit hole. But we've trained an AI based off of all of our data. So it's been consuming tens of thousands of data points at any given time to get smarter and smarter, and it can do more and more. And so it's like you're training a human how to do a job, but their IQ is like 200.
Languages,
English and Spanish right now.
Right now, but you're gonna expand it, obviously.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have. So yeah, this is the cool part. Is like you're coming into Canada from another country, and you want to do an interview in your native tongue,
because right? You can answer it honestly
and you're more articulate.
Yes,
but you know, and because you might do an interview, and an employer might think you're incompetent because English isn't your first language. You can't explain what you can do, but you can do it. And so it's like, this is really cool. It's like, okay, how do we, you know, taking things to, it's like, imagine having an HR department that can speak any language. And that's what we're building towards. And
that wasn't difficult at all. Like that was as an employer. So as an employee, you can just put it out there, and now you've answered all these questions, and now your CV is that much thicker now.
Yeah. And it's robust because you can like an employer can see what skill level you have, and it's only going to match you with jobs that you're competent and able to do, and also jobs that are part of your career roadmap. So actually helping you, the AI then creates a roadmap for you to gain new skills through job opportunities and upskill the workforce.
Will they act like a mentor at times, or like, will they make suggestions?
This is what we're building towards. So like this first phase of UBuild is to collect skill data from the workforce. This is proprietary skill data. The next phase of UBuild is, let's leverage this skill data to upskill the entire workforce. And then we get into a whole, like we're trying to solve the skilled labor crisis fundamentally. Yeah. But like, I didn't know how to go about that. When last time I came in here, I didn't know that this was how to do it. And it was through iterations and learning that I realized, I'm like, oh, we need to organize the data of the industry first. And so it's cool. It's like, now we're getting to that point where we can do some really interesting things.
What are you guys? Are you guys comparing construction, not just solely in Canada here, but also are you comparing it to the US construction, European construction, Asian construction? Like, are you guys looking, that's where it's expanding? Is that the idea?
Yeah, that's the plan, is like expanding across the Western world.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to move into Texas in the new year. So there's a lot happening, and but yeah, like I said, we're starting with collecting that data first. And I didn't show you, but on the employer side, like you said, I could be driving in my truck between job sites, pick up the phone and call UBuild's AI bot. It's like your own personal AI. And you can say, hey, send me three general laborers to this job site to do clean up the site, do some demo work and backfilling. And I need them there at 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then I hang up the call, and the AI is going to handle the rest. So U-Build is then going to find the workers, schedule them. They go to your job site and you can forget about it. You don't need to fumble with an app.
How long is that whole process, Mateo? Like from the time that you've actually made that call, you had gone into the portal and you put in the request, how soon after are you getting the viable three options or something like that?
Oh, jobs get accepted within like 30 minutes, an hour. Yeah.
That fast?
And we have, so there's two types of job postings you can create through U-Build.
Yeah.
There's like your temp on demand jobs for like general labor, same day or next day. You just need casual stuff around a job site, cleanup, demo. But then there's your full-time job postings, which is you get applicants and then you can review those applicants. And that takes, you know, can take a day to get really qualified people in.
If you're tired of wasting time and money on generic job boards that give you unqualified applicants, listen up. Our friends at U-Build have created a game-changing app that helps you hire, manage, and pay skilled workers to grow your business. Whether you need labor, site supers, PMs, or office staff, U-Build has you covered. With U-Build, you'll save 80% on recruitment costs and hire the right workers 90% faster. U-Build matches you with verified workers to keep your projects on time and budget. They are the fastest growing labor network in Canada, trusted by hundreds of top builders and thousands of workers. If you are hiring for temporary or full-time roles, I highly recommend checking out these guys. Head to ubuildapp.com and use the promo code theconstructionlife to save you $100 on your first booking.
And then when you get your list of potentials, your prospects, you can still further go down and go, listen, tell me that you have the training to do this or training, or you're certified for that. Like you can find out all about that.
Yeah, you go to their, you can actually see on their profile. First of all, we'll only show you applicants that have already verified their skills.
Gotten to that point.
So they've already done an interview, right? An assessment. So you have that confidence as an employer that who you're hiring is worth hiring.
So at that point, all we have to really worry about is personality.
Yeah. And then we leave that personality
when you meet.
Piece to you. Yeah. You can still call the worker before you hire them and just be like, hey, just to find out a little bit more about them, to see if you guys click. We're working on personality assessments as well. We're not sure how deep we're going to go with it. But
I think that might be more of a job site thing. I think if they've already jumped through all those hurdles to get to this point, and you as an employer and then them as an employee, you both are feeling confident on the connection, I think the next step is literally get on the site and start working.
Yeah, exactly. Like that we want to leverage AI. We don't want everything to be
based take over.
We want AI to improve the relationships between humans. And I think that that's what AI should be. It's a tool. I don't like to think of AI as like an extension of ourselves or like you start to get philosophical, but like I like to think of it as like these autonomous agents that are working on your behalf as like an AI employee. And my prediction for the industry, I mean, I know it's happening already, but that construction companies that leverage AI, what the future is going to look like, your back office staff is going to be leveraging AI in ways you couldn't imagine. You're going to have an AI for your HR department, U-Build. You're going to have an AI for your project coordination, project management that are kind of overseeing just administrative things, bookkeeping. So your team, your office staff are going to be able to be like 100x more efficient.
You can take on many more projects.
By plugging in these AI agents into your business to augment your teams. So like you said, like when times are tough, companies that are efficient are going to move forward. If companies that don't leverage AI in the construction field in the future are going to get left behind.
100%.
100%. I see it happening. It's like, it's just a matter of time. So like the people that are ahead of the curve, for example, employers that are using U-Build, they're taking the best labor out there.
You're filtering them already.
They're able to find the needle in the haystack. Whereas you're sifting through Indeed or you know a guy. It's like, you're not actually getting the best fit. You're getting the quickest, okay, this guy's all right, fit.
So I'm just curious, Mateo. So as an employer, can I keep on adding to what my business is doing? So if I'm growing, I'm changing, I'm considering, I'm tendering on a project, I'm expanding, there's an opportunity, I can keep on feeding this to U-Build, telling them this is where my business is headed. So then U-Build can start looking at, well, this is the group of people that you're going to need to assist you with that growth.
Exactly.
That's the idea.
Yeah. So the idea is the employer is going to be able to tell U-Build, hey, I have this project pipeline in the future. I need you to passively build a workforce that can help me execute on these jobs. So when you're posting a job on U-Build, like we can start to create this pool of workers that would be a fit. So that, because the thing is, what happens in construction is like there's a down period and you don't have jobs.
Yeah.
And you have to let guys go or lay them off. But then when jobs pick back up, you're scrambling trying to hire, right? So U-Build is like, okay, well, when you're ready to hire, you can pull the trigger and get someone on your team quickly so you can take on that project versus trying to start the engine back up again, right? So this is what we're trying to create, is this kind of modular workforce.
So who's really embracing this? Would it be the younger trades?
You know, that's what we thought was going to happen off the bat, but we're seeing people all ages using it.
They just see the value in it.
Yeah, they see the value in it, and different company sizes. Like we work with people anywhere doing like a few hundred grand a year to like 70, 100 million a year, you know, bigger commercial contractors. So it's cool. It's a very versatile tool to use. And
I just feel like this is almost, I'm trying to connect it to the old school tradesperson. They probably would have been doing something similar. And I think when I say similar, I mean, this is helping you to ask the right questions to move forward faster. Because it's easy just to blanket a series of questions to try to figure out what's my next move. But if you're strategic about what you're asking or how you're asking it, you get to move forward a lot faster on how you do that. And that's what the old school guys were used to do when they get on the job sites, that they would get rid of the fluff and get right to what the question at the heart of the question was. And then you would get the answer that you're really looking for. And everybody would be confident about answering it that way. You know what I mean about that?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm seeing this is. So that's why I could see it being embraced by any tradesperson, because if you're old and you've been in the business a long enough time, all you've ever done is look for opportunities to make your business grow and be more efficient. If you're young, you're doing the exact same thing, but you've got a lot of noise out there. And you're trying to just sift through this noise, and then you come across something like this and it makes sense to you as a business owner.
Yeah.
That's how I'm looking at it.
And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make something that's complicated and convoluted very simple and elegant.
I mean, to be honest, Mateo, like the thing is, AI scares a lot of people in construction.
Yeah.
When you talk about AI to them, like they joke, we've seen the jokes, like it's never going to replace my trade, right? Mm-hmm. I understand that. I get that. We're not going to see anytime in the near future robots doing trim work and things like that. I understand all that stuff. But that whole connection point regarding the community and dealing with clients, that's still the personal side of things. Yeah. If a client is seeing how efficient you are with a workforce and they're coming in and you're already weeding out bad apples and all you're doing is cream, you're getting the best of the best, that's a reflection of what your client's going to see on the site, and that's a reflection of your business now.
Exactly. Yeah. Your workforce is your business. Yeah. And they're creating the product, which is the building that you create.
I love that you incorporated the slang, and I love that the languages are coming because that's important. I don't want the restriction of English or the restriction of not understanding certain words. Everybody has different words for different tasks that are going on. I guess assuming that it's also very conscious of metric and imperial or different measurements or different scope of work or how things are done in one country versus another country.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wildly intelligent. You know, you'd be amazed. You can give it an incoherent scope of work and it'll organize it, and it'll actually derive the skills that are required to perform a scope of work into the data points to then find the right workers. So like as an employer, what happens is I post a job and it's going to listen to the job description or the scope of work. And then it's going to say like back framing, sheathing, subfloor. It's going to pull the metadata out. Yeah. And then it's going to make the match based on the scope of work. So it's wild, like the way it can organize data and push data to the right places. So like this, we haven't got into this, but you know, we're collecting all this data on your workforce. And what we're building next is you're going to be able to integrate U-Build with your QuickBooks, with your Procore, Bluebeam, any project management software or HR software you have. So you're going to be able to push all this worker data straight to those places. So you can actually you have what we call workforce intelligence. You better know your team. Huh. You can better allocate your labor resources to the right scopes. So it's getting crazy. You know,
it's starting from the drawings.
So yeah, we're not there yet.
But it's starting. It's going to get to the point where it's going to start to see the drawings and go from that point on. It starts building the team associated with the drawings.
That's yeah. It's funny. Yeah, that's my future vision. This is a couple, you know, yeah, couple years down the line.
But
the technology is there. Like you could like feasibly, if we had the resources, you could upload a blueprint into a system. The AI would read it, and then it could then create the scopes of work and help you build your labor, your workforce bench for that job proactively.
Yeah.
Right. So it's cool. I mean, that's coming down the line. There's already some companies out there that are putting together like bid packages based on blueprints.
But that's something else. That's different the way that they're approaching that.
Yeah. That's like for tendering for like quoting on jobs. We were in that space for a bit, but it's, yeah, we veered away from it.
I think the real value is in the workforce. The value is like the project doesn't get started without the workforce.
Yeah.
So you got to find the right workforce at that point.
Agreed. Yeah. And that's the harder, you know, the harder thing. Like people have sub trades that they work with, like companies that they sub things out to, but it's hard to find those individual workers.
Let's talk a little bit about what if it doesn't work out? Let's say everything lines up. Resume is good, scope is good, everything's good, but for whatever reason, it doesn't work out. You as an employer, you can make the decision, listen, I don't want to have this person return tomorrow. Can we look at another option? But you're submitting, I guess, some thoughts on why this one didn't work out to let Build know?
Yeah, exactly. So then we'll take that data and we'll figure out why it wasn't a fit. And then you just pick the next best person that was in line for that job.
Because I sometimes still believe that it's got to be personality at that point. I don't think it's so much the skill set, because if you already filled out and answered and you've got the resume, then it just might not be a personality thing. That's an issue.
Yeah, I think skills get you in the door.
Yeah.
It starts the conversation, but like your personality is what keeps you around.
Of course.
Right? And it's the most important thing, I think. Like, I think that you need to click with the people you're working with. And
are you guys working on... I think one of the biggest hurdles that we're seeing with the workforce, how do I put this? It's kind of the younger trades that are just getting started. And when I say younger trades, I mean like the late teens, early 20s. For lack of a better word, they're scared shitless of getting on a job site, mm-hmm. right? But they still have the skill and they know how to do the work, but they may not be able to translate that. Are you guys getting into the world of helping them navigate that communication process regarding an experienced tradesperson and now them trying to get to that level?
Yeah. So in terms of the communication, we're not focused on that too much, but yeah, like we're working on like
verbal and physical, just on that. Like,
oh, just they, like some tips, like
how they present themselves, right? Like obviously show up on the site PPE, right? Yeah. Like make sure you're prepared to be on a proper construction site, right?
Yeah. And that's kind of what we're working towards is like, you do this interview with the AI, but then we're like, what we're envisaging is like this AI is like with you for your career. And it's like your, I don't know how to say it, like your mentor.
Yeah,
like
it's going to give you tips.
It's going to give you tips. Like I could ask the AI like, hey, how do I backframe this wall? And I could take a photo of the wall even, and it'll give some tips. And so that's what like we're trying to work towards is like, how can they, you know, interact with this AI as their career coach? Wow. This is obviously like coming in the pipeline, yeah. All these things. You know, we've got big dreams, but
no,
like,
but you could see the possibilities with this, right? And how it'd be very attractive to the workforce.
Yeah, and just making it possible. Because what we see a lot is like people coming from like these trade schools, and they have like theoretically they have these skills, but then when they get on the job site, it's like
they're scared.
They don't. Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. It's intimidating being on a job site.
It is 100%. I'm still intimidated sometimes. Me when too. I get on job sites, literally, right?
Sometimes I'll walk on a job sites and like, this like, is holy big, shit, man. This is like, intense. These dudes are yelling. Like I'm cool. Like I can hold my own there. But like,
so I can only imagine what it's like for a young person trying to get into the business, and then they're scared about it, and they don't want to make a big mistake that leaves that lasting impression.
Yeah.
When you guys can kind of navigate them, I like that it's becoming like a mentor kind of connection.
Yeah.
To them, right?
Yeah, and I think it's also about like the employers can then figure out how to drive retention of their teams through culture. So like knowing who you're hiring, you know how to interact with this employee, right? To help them grow and help them feel like they're a part of the team, and make sure that your existing crew don't like bully the guy off the job site. You know, because then that creates turnover. Like it's really going to come down to the employers. Like who's creating the most like a welcoming culture and growth oriented culture. not like who's banging their chest the loudest on the site.
Yeah. And it's just like, I think everyone needs to understand that it's a collaborative effort, that we all need each other to make this project complete.
Yeah.
Right. So you can't just be strong arming your situation just because you're been there 2 years plus or whatever. You're top dog on the food chain, right?
Yeah.
You have to work together with, and then someone's going to replace you and you're going to get advanced, and then someone's going to bring in their skills, right?
Yeah. Which is a beautiful thing about construction, the collaboration that goes behind it. Like, I love it. I just love seeing teams come together.
It's a harmony when it all works together.
Yeah. And people are having a good time, you know, when they're not pissed off going home every day. Like, they feel energized because they're working with a good group of people.
It's money wise. Okay. So I'm just not like, I'm trying to figure out, are you getting tradespeople questioning their value of their worth because they have these skills, right? Mm-hmm. So are you guys kind of letting them know, you know, Ontario market is this, BC market is that, US market is this, kind of be, so they have a realistic perception of what the industry is all about. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So yeah, so based on their profiles, we're able to then cross-reference that against all the other profiles in the database and what people are getting paid. So we can be like, hey, you're charging 20, but I actually saw this the other day. Someone had on their profile $20 an hour. And I saw it and their profile had a ton of skills. I'm like, hey, you should be making like 28, $30 an hour. You should like up that. And so, yeah, we're working.
So they got a notification.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just like texted the guy, but yeah, the AI is going to suggest to you what your rate should be based on your profile and certifications and skills and stuff.
What are some of the trades that are the most popular that you guys are seeing a lot of activity going on regarding new build?
So like the temporary on-demand jobs are almost all general labor, semi-skilled labor. But then the full-time roles, we're seeing a lot of like site supervisors, project managers, carpenters. Those are kind of right now, at least currently, those are the top positions that people are hiring for. But we see it, you know, people are hiring apprentices, electricians, plumbers, like anything, you name it. There's a lot of thousands of different workers in the database. So
are lots of kids finding you guys? Because that's the first disconnect that I'm seeing. You'll get a lot of teenagers, late teens, going through certain government programs to get the training going on. I'm talking about OYAP and things like that. Mm-hmm. But then they're just completely lost and confused on where to go next. But are they discovering you guys to figure out that this is a viable option?
Yeah. So we've actually, there's a bunch of different government agencies that refer people to UBuild to get in, to kind of get their foot in the industry. One of the profs at George Brown, Shane McInnes, he's been referring a ton of his students to us. Shout out to Shane. Thank you for the referrals. But yeah, it's cool working with these trade schools and seeing people come in.
Because they're concerned about what's next. Like, they just need to figure out, I've got ABC skills and now I need to know what's next so then I can get, you know, DEF skills, right?
Yeah.
And keep on growing from that point. Because I'm a huge advocate. I've always said it. You start because you want to build and you want to grow.
Yeah.
You don't want to be stopped or confused or turned away or down a wrong path. You want to just continue the right path and continue growing your career.
Yeah. And you want workers to like feel that momentum of their career. Yeah. Right? You don't want to feel like demoralized. Like, okay, I did this trade school and I've been a general laborer for 10 years. It's like, okay, you should, I mean, if you want to, nothing wrong with
if staying as a laborer. If that's where you're headed, then that's fine.
Hey, I back it. Like I enjoyed doing labor work. I thought it was nice. I liked being the guy on site that like was just cleaning up, filling in the gaps between people, you know, just making sure that the trades were able to be efficient. I actually liked that job. I'm doing it myself. So no, yeah, if you like to do that, but if you want to move forward, you should have the tools and the guidance necessary and the work experience necessary to keep moving.
What's your opinion on, because I've always said that there's a difference between a Canadian construction tradesperson and an American construction tradesperson. What are your thoughts on that? Like what sets us differently between the two countries?
I mean, we haven't launched in Texas yet. I'll have a lot more to say in the next few months.
Once you start seeing it there.
But yeah. I think, I mean, ultimately it's like different building methods, like the seasonality that we see up here. It's not the same as in the, you know, the southern states. So I'd imagine there's a lot of different building techniques. And
I could see that the difference would really be dictated based on the code of what region you are in.
Yeah.
Like it'd be interesting to speak to somebody from out west on how they build things, because they do a lot of things that we don't do here and vice versa, right? So we here, we're already on a certain path on how to build. We know the steps to get involved with it. Over there, they have probably, you know, some subsets that are attached to each of the steps that we're so familiar, and vice versa. And it's the same thing, like, unfortunately, you got the hurricanes going on right now down mm-hmm. south, right? So it's like they build for those purposes as well. But then also on the west end in America, you've got the extreme heats in Arizona and California. Mm-hmm. Like, you're building for that situation as well. So they're familiar with those details.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, it's funny you mentioned that, because I started to think, you know, we're going to have to, because we built a skill taxonomy for U-Build. So like all the different trade types, trade categories, and then subcategories, and then individual skills per subcategory. Oh. And so as we start to move into different geographies, we're going to have to constantly be updating this taxonomy to add different skills based on that are more applicable
for that region,
for the weather,
would totally make sense,
different parts of the world. So yeah, it's a evolving thing. It took me a long time to build that taxonomy. There's like thousands of different skills in it.
I can imagine. Yeah.
I mean, AI helped, but it still took a while to make sure things were actually categorized properly.
If you're like me, sometimes you find yourself in a pinch when you need extra hands, but sourcing out reliable labor last minute is difficult. U-Build has simplified this by helping you instantly hire top-rated workers for on-demand shifts. It's super easy. You head to ubuildapp.com and create a job posting within seconds. U-Build notifies you qualified workers in your area who can view and accept the shift. And the best part is, you don't need to onboard employees or go to the ATM for cash. U-Build's timesheets automatically create invoices for your approval at the end of each day or week. Save yourself the headache and keep your projects on track with U-Build's on-demand labor hiring. U-Build has become the most reliable source of temporary labor. Trusted by hundreds of contractors and thousands of workers, head to ubuildapp.com and use the promo code THEConstructionLife to save $100 on your first booking. And then you got the different levels of construction too. So you can start from low rise all the way to high rise and industrial and commercial, everything. Like,
yeah, and it changes based on... Yeah, so there's a lot of... It's like a... What is it, like a Russian nesting doll?
Yeah.
You know, there's one inside of the other. So.
Inside over and over and over. But that's the industry though.
Yeah.
That's how it there's layers, 100%. There's so many different layers on it, right?
Yeah.
And so it's reading, like it's growing with it. It's understanding that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the idea, is like it's going to be adding skills as it deems necessary. And you know, that's like you said, there's all these different layers and all of these different types of skills. And this is the reason why workforce data is fragmented. Like there's no one single source of truth of workforce data, because it's everywhere, right?
Yeah.
You don't know, like there's so many different layers. No one spent the effort to organize it. And that's what we're taking on, that burden of organizing the skill data and then leveraging it.
That's a serious task, man. Like you're dissecting construction from the inside out.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, at the end of the, you got to just roll up your sleeves. The industry
goes from the outside in.
Yeah, exactly. And because right now, the only record of skill data are all these resumes, right?
Yeah.
But the resumes are not organized in a way that a database can like search them or like, so we're basically creating the new digital resume for construction workers. So like, you know, you can upload your resume into U-Build and it'll create your profile from there. But it's like, yeah, we need to move away from these PDF resumes fundamentally. They're just a thing of the past now.
I've never relied on them. I don't know many GCs that have relied on it. It's more about, I need to get a sense that you can do this and I need to meet you and discuss things and then give you the opportunity to do so.
Yeah. Yeah, you right. Got to meet them. You got to talk to them on the phone. It's like, so it's a lot of time you got to spend.
When you really want to just get to the task at hand.
Yeah.
Right? Which is like, you guys are helping get to that point sooner. Mm-hmm. So then now you get to meet them and I go, here, go to it.
Yeah. Do you like this person as a team member? When you already know that they've got the skills. The only decision you need to make is like, do I click with this person?
So now with the U-Build members that, I mean, what do you guys call them? Like the people that get involved and work with you guys?
Yeah. Members.
They're members, right?
Yeah, users, members.
Do they... like they grow with you guys or you guys grow with them. Mm-hmm. You watch what they do and how they perform. So they completed one job, one task, one employment. Now they move on to the next one. And now that there's a record of that. to see their growth, right?
Exactly. Yeah, they our AI bot is checking in with them to update their profile. So it's not like you build your profile once and that's it.
No.
You're updating it.
Evolving it.
As you learn new skills, you call the bot. And her name is Lucy, actually. I just have been calling it the bot.
Why Lucy? Creation?
So, yeah, part okay. of it. Also, like one of our early ancestors, Australopithecus yeah. africanus was named Lucy.
Yeah.
One of the first tool users. I thought it was cool. Also that, you know, that movie Lucy with,
yeah,
I love that.
So it's
movie.
Just funny that the first trades person was a woman.
Yeah, exactly. but the Lucy will effectively be keeping up with you through your career and updating your profile as you learn new skills.
But you want that.
Yeah.
Because you, as a tradesperson learning and growing and building your career, you want to focus on other things. You want somebody else to kind of guide you and go, okay, well, what about this, Lucy? Like, this is an idea I'm thinking about. Would this help me on my path? That's where you guys are heading with that.
Yeah. And like actually like visualizing your career path, and it kind of feels like a video game almost, you know, like you're unlocking achievements, you're getting rewards and bonuses for gaining new skills. And so this is where we get into the vision of like being able, the employers being able to retain their teams. Because if you have a worker on your crew that's using UBuild, then you can recognize and reward their growth because they're keeping up their profile. So it's satisfying to not just know that you have a skill, but to like see it on an interface and to get that recognition.
Are you guys also including, if an employee worked with employer, they did a good job, everything was great, now they've moved on to something else, are you letting know the employer that this is where this person's gone, this is the new skills that they have, that there's an option maybe in the future that you might want to call them back to be in another employee on another project?
Yeah, exactly. So they're, if you like them, they're added to your favorite crew. So you don't have to post, you can tap back, you can message that worker again and invite them to the job.
That makes a lot of sense, right? Because now you're really speeding up the process.
Yeah.
Right? Now you don't even have to do the personality test and just like get on the job site, here's the address and let's get to work.
Yeah, exactly. And you can like notify, you, as an employer, you can notify your favorite crew like, hey, we have a project coming up. Like, are you available for it? Maybe they are, maybe they're not, but.
See, that's why I brought up the whole thing about you as a business owner growing and you trying to expand. And the number one thing that prevents you from growing is the workforce. Mm-hmm. Your fear of not having the workforce that you need to potentially complete this job that you know you can secure.
Yeah.
But you can't move forward on tendering and getting that job because you know you can't secure the workforce. Mm-hmm. This is getting rid of that fear.
Yeah, exactly. Helping you move into that. Yeah. You don't want to do anything from a place of fear.
No.
Anything in life. And, you know, people are crippled by fear of the unknown. And so it's, yeah, just providing that transparency. And yeah, I think like on growing your business too, it's like there's so much to it. I talk to a lot of friends about this. My friend Giorgio from Spike on Site Solutions, they do like site cleanup, demolition.
Yeah.
Him and I talk about this all the time that like, and he's I'm a big fan of Giorgio. He's like, he's growing his business like crazy. He's like in great shape. Like he's building an amazing life. And I always like look up to him as a, you know, as a role model or as like a, you know, someone that I admire. And he always talks about how like, if you want to grow your business, it's forget about like the workforce, all this stuff. It's like focusing on yourself, like getting in shape, eating properly, getting your mental game on track. I think that's kind of like,
he's not wrong.
No, it's kind of like a side thing. Like I think that's what it is. It's like moving from that place of like fear to abundance. And UBuild is UBuild is a tool to help you, you know, solve one piece of growing your business, but there's a lot of other things that come with that.
I'm seeing a lot more of that. I'm seeing a lot more of the 30 something, 40 somethings. They're understanding that not everything is great in life. So then they're taking care of themselves. They're eating a little better. They're exercising. They're doing all kinds of interesting things because they know they need that energy and that stamina to build their business. Mm-hmm. They can't keep on doing it the same way that they've always been doing it. That's the one thing construction is really good at. We know how to evolve. We just don't know the pieces that we need to contribute to that evolution. Mm-hmm. That's the issue, right?
Yeah. And not like burn yourself out. Like you think that working extra hours and working hard is the way, but it gets you like faster in the short term, but then you burn out and then you got to like take time off or reset.
So how do you deal with the industry? Because there's a lot of AI going on. There's a lot of stuff that says they can contribute to the industry. They can contribute to your business. And then, like, how do you navigate those waters? How do you get a better understanding of what's really going to work for your business? Because off mic, I've had a lot of conversations with people that use certain software, and they're like, okay, it's great for this, and it's not so good for this. Mm-hmm. And then they have this mixed match of, okay, I kind of use this for this point. It's almost like, I don't know, someone waking up in the morning and, like, they take this pill for this reason, they take this pill for this reason, and so on, just to get the results of everything to happen. Mm-hmm. But how do you speak to an old school person like that, where it's just, I'd rather not even deal with all that because it seems like a big headache for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's a headache. You're right. You have all these different softwares you're using for individual business functions. You have your project management software, you have your estimating software, you've got your HR, your payroll. It's like, and at the end of the day, you're going to need to use all those different things. I think it's more so about, like, how do you integrate them all together is a really important thing. Like, how do you have the data moving across all of these different softwares and into a way that's useful for you? Because you talk to anyone, there's no one piece of software that solves your your business.
No.
So yeah, I think it's about, you know, you got to understand what your business is, what you're trying to solve, the weak points in your business, and then figure out, like, what software is built for you. Because, like, from the tech, I'm put on my tech hat now. It's like, we have in the tech world, it's called your ICP, your ideal customer profile. So there's certain customers that you build for. And so you need to find the technology company that's building something for you. If you're like a small landscaping business, like, use one of those specific platforms. You're not going to use Procore if you're mowing lawns or something.
But so it's... Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's it.
No, just because contractors seem to forget that there's not one trade that can build the whole project. Mm-hmm. You're taking a bunch of components and then you're putting them all together and they're all contributing to build something. It's the same thing on the back end of your business. If you want to move forward, you're going to need all these details to take care of all these specific tasks. And that's how you grow your business at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And I would just make sure before you adopt a software or any technologies, just make sure it's the right thing for your business. Cause, like, I've gone through this mess before of, like, you use the wrong thing and then it becomes integrated into your business, and then trying to, like, shift off of it is like trying to change a wheel on a moving car.
Yeah.
So, like, take the time before you don't just blindly, like, adopt a software, like, take the time, make sure it's for you, make sure it makes sense.
That's why I asked earlier. I was like, at what point do they give up and just said, I'm going right back. I'm going to revert back to the old ways that I've always been doing, because they worked. Mm-hmm. It totally worked at that time, but it doesn't move you forward. It keeps you in the same level for a longer period of time. You got to take that risk of trying to figure out the best of this and then move that forward.
Yeah.
Which will benefit your business at that point, right?
Exactly. If that's what you're trying to do, if you're trying to grow beyond, because a lot of people are happy with their operation, what they have, in which case I would say, don't complicate things. If it's working for you, like, you don't need to adopt all this crazy technology. Maybe U-Build's not right for you.
But it goes back to your earlier point where you were saying a lot of tradespeople don't ask the question why. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't even asked, let alone answer that question, maybe you need to figure out, why do you want to grow? Why do you want to go forward? Why do you want to do all this stuff? But you have to have a legitimate reason why you want to do this. And if you do, then maybe this is something for you to help you get to that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to reflect, like, yeah, what is that thing that makes you want to grow your business? Like, okay, like, oh, I want to make more money. Like, why?
That's a cop out. Like, it's just like, oh, I'm passionate about construction. That's a cop out. Like, you got to be really specific. Yeah, right?
Like, why exactly? And what I find is, like, if you ask yourself those questions, if you ask yourself why over and over and over again, it actually takes you to a place where you're like, it's very, like, introspective. Like, you're, like, reflecting on your own psyche and your the meaning of this life. It's like, why are you even here in the first place? It's like, you know, you starts to get trippy. But just, like, making sure that you're making decisions from the right place. And,
but it's not a bad thing to get down that so-called personal rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But at least you never know. You might answer a question.
Yeah, and then you might find a, I don't even want to be in construction anymore. You know, like you might want to do something else.
You might not be the hands-on anymore. You might be the best manager. You didn't even realize it. You might be the best PM. You didn't even realize it. But you've been trying to wear all these hats because you just can't find the right people to fill in certain hats. But now here's an opportunity with this app that you can find the right people to fill those in. So it pushes you to do something else that you really want to do that you're really good at. I've always said it, like every tradesperson you have, we all have the skills. Mm-hmm. We know how to build, but sometimes you're better at doing something else that are better for the business.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you should be buying back your time as soon as you can, hiring people for things that you're not good at or that you don't like doing. And then eventually you get to the point where you're doing the stuff that you like to do.
Yeah.
And then you start to thrive. I've noticed that with U-Build is like just getting it off the ground. It was grueling, like doing, you know, my co-founder Dan and I doing everything ourselves, like everything by hand. It was like, you know, we were in here that day and
yeah,
you know, it's tough. And then you slowly, you know, you hire people for this, for that, you start to build an office staff, you start to build an operation. And I still do stuff I don't love doing day to day, but I try to fill my day with things that.
But it's contributing to a bigger picture.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's how the tradesperson should be looking at it as well too.
Yeah.
So if you already, if you keep on using the excuse that I can't find, you know, a guy mentality, I can't find a person to fill in that spot, then you're always going to use that as a stumbling block for you to kind of keep on growing where you can spend your best efforts working on something else.
Exactly. Like we have some employers using U-Build who love to stay on the tools. They weren't trying to escape their business. They were trying to hire PMs, hire site supers, yeah. Hire all these people so that they can go around and putter around a job site and fix stuff up. It's cool. It's like they've found that's what they love to do. And so it's, you know, people use it for different reasons. And yeah, you just like eventually if you use it enough, you'll be able to focus on what you enjoy.
Is it hard, Mateo? Like do they get it right away? Like, is it pretty simple?
I think we've tried to make it simple over time. It's definitely getting simpler to explain and to digest. And that's also been a process of like us understanding, like, what are we building?
Yeah.
What's like, what's our identity? You know, why are we doing this? Yeah. I think it's pretty straightforward now for them to understand, you know, U-Build helps you hire workers,
which is a big deal.
For temporary or yeah. Full-time roles.
What do you think construction is going to look like 5 years from now?
I think that there's, like I said, there's going to be these vertically specific AI agents that are performing administrative tasks on behalf of you. So like I said, all these, the different departments of your business could be
your run. Company culture is going to be ingrained in this.
Yeah,
and exactly. So it'll be able to make decisions based on what it thinks you are building.
Yeah. And these AI bots are going to be talking to each other and moving data between each other. And it's going to leave the craftsmen to be, you know, that's what I hope happens is like the busy administrative work gets handled so that we can bring like the craft of construction back to life. You know, you look back, it's sometimes sad looking at like some buildings nowadays are like, it's like they have no soul in them.
Yeah.
And you look back in time and it's like, you know, these people, it's like ancient builders built these beautiful, amazing structures, even like 30, 40 years ago. It's just that craft is people are building things just to get them done versus building them for the art of construction. I hope that that's what we get back into is
yeah, there's more challenging, like a tradesperson is at their best when they're challenged with something and then they along with their coworkers figure it out. Mm-hmm. But that's what you want. You want to give them that stage to get to that point. But as a business owner, admin is the worst part of this industry. Everybody, mm-hmm. I've never seen any tradesperson or business owner construction wise, like, I love the admin part of this business. Like they try to hire people that love that. Mm-hmm. And then they get on the job site. They want to stay on the job site, but you have to do all that stuff or yeah. Get somebody to do all that stuff or get an AI to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what, you know, that's what I hope, you know, I want to see the craftsmanship come back to life and buildings to be artistic, you know, again, and be even more people for people to care more about the industry. I hope that the skilled labor crisis is being solved, that we're upskilling the workforce in a meaningful way. You know, I'd love to see a greener future of construction. I think it's sad seeing, you know, the world, you know, you look at those satellite images of the earth and they used to be green fields everywhere. And now it's just these gray blocks, like trying to integrate more greenery, I think, into spaces, like building cities that are incorporate nature into them, I think is really cool.
I agree with you. I totally, and there are ways, and I've seen cities that have done that where you've done elevated decks where you can actually put greenery on top of that and you can still have the urban environment underneath it. Mm-hmm. So you still move what needs to be moved in a city, but you still have that green going on, right? I mean, best thing that probably happened in New York was not doing anything in Central Park and leaving that one zone there to have that greenery there, right? But now it's, unfortunately, it's dictated by economics, right? So only the wealthy gets to see that view, right? Which is unfortunate. But I would love to. Didn't Toronto recently try to announce that green project, but it got thrown out or whatever by the downtown?
Over the train tracks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
It's not moving forward. I don't think it is.
It was a cool idea.
It was a great idea. I was like, great, we need green there. That's perfect. Train tracks are visually appealing to look at, but you can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
But you can build a deck over it and then make that green. That makes a lot of sense to me.
That'd be cool to see here, you know, if they can get to it.
I don't even know. Like, I don't know the logistics of it, but all the tops of all these high rises that are going up in the downtown core, why can't they be live roofs?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's another, but maybe all the mechanicals being dictated on what's up there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? But yeah, it's cool to see where the industry's going. And
UBuild has made hiring full-time crew members easier than ever. It's really simple. Head to their website at ubuildapp.com to search their database of verified worker profiles. Once you find the right workers, UBuild's AI will make a job post and invite workers within seconds. When someone applies, UBuild interviews them for you, assesses their skills and experience to send you the top three worker profiles. From there, you do the final interview and make the hire. You can decide whether you want to pay workers through UBuild's payroll or onboard them to your own. UBuild reduces your time to hire and improves the quality of hires at a fraction of the cost of recruiters and staffing firms. Head to ubuildapp.com and use the promo code THEConstructionLife to save $100 on your first booking. Contractors want to be challenged, man. I'm telling you, once they get rid of the parts, pulling off the Band-Aid parts, they get rid of all that and let someone else like this app take care of those parts, they want to be challenged with doing the work and figuring out how do we build this? How do we get that from there and put it all together?
Mm-hmm.
They want to figure out those parts.
Yeah, and when you think about it, like building sustainably and building green forward, it also comes down to the skills of the workforce. Like, does the workforce have the skills to build a net zero home? And so there's all these different things that come together to create a sustainable future. It's like, it's the vision of the people building, it's high performance building materials, and then it's the skills of the people on the ground executing.
Are you guys integrating? I mean, when I got started in construction, I was really hungry to go do a habitat project, right?
Mm.
And it was unfortunate that there was such a waiting list regarding Toronto. Like, obviously, busy areas of any kind of city, they start to have a huge wait list to get on there. But then they start making suggestions of really far away places that you can go to instead. And I just wasn't that hungry to go that far to work on that project. Are you guys going to start integrating where you're letting the workers know there's something coming up? There's a trade show coming up. There's a class. You can get your passive rating. You can do sustainability court, like all that kind of integration where here's a guide now. Here's a hand being held and you're like taking them along the way going, you might want to consider this coming up in the end of the year, the new year, whatever, those kinds of things.
Yeah, that's part of the idea with like your, career AI career coach is recommending, like events, courses to take, certificates that would help you unlock different employment opportunities, like what the next skills are you to learn. Those are all these things. It'd be cool. That's a good idea though. Like the actual events going on, that'd be a cool thing to add in.
Because there's always events coming up. There's all kinds of projects that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people forget about them and they don't make it. But whenever someone sends me something, I automatically just make a note and throw it in the calendar and it's there. Then I just have to figure out based on my schedule, can I make it? And I'm fortunate enough to get invited to quite a few of them. I just have to pick and choose how many I can go to. But I know that every time I've gone to one, I've either bumped into somebody I know or I've learned something or both. It's always been a positive, right, to be a part of that. So I look forward to those things, but I think it's valuable to anybody that's working in the industry to somehow it's okay to play hooky in the afternoon and go attend this thing for about 2-3 hours because you don't know what might happen as a result of that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's tons of different trade shows going on, and you never know who you're going to meet.
Yeah.
I was at one Built Worlds conference. It was about, it's like a construction tech conference.
Okay. Where was that at?
It was at the Westin Harborfront Castle, like the hotel there.
Yeah.
It was cool. I did a presentation on kind of like, I talked about ancient construction and brought it through to like the future of construction. Cool. It was really cool talking to a lot of these people that are like guys at Ellis Don and Lafarge and Palmer Lowe, like these huge developers building things and hearing their perspective. And yeah, bumped into some people there. And I was so glad I went. And I was reluctant. I wasn't going to go, but I ended up, you know, as you put yourself out there, you realize like you never know who you're going to meet where, like, especially if you're young and in the industry, like you got to get involved.
You got to just meet people, talk, and then share a little bit about yourself and what you're hungry for, what you want to learn.
And even if you're not an extrovert or like, you know, you don't feel like doing it, you know, sometimes you just, you know, you just got
to. I just tell those kids, I go, listen, just pay attention to what you're really interested in. Mm-hmm. Like if you really love construction, you really love whatever, trim work or whatever it is, stonework or whatever, focus on that. You'll come out of your extrovert. Right. Yeah. Because you're just being you. You're not lying. You're not trying to present a persona. You're being honest about who you are and what you're mm-hmm. interested in. And I guarantee you, like, just because the way things work out, you'll bump into somebody that probably has that skill set that might have an opportunity for you in the future. Mm-hmm. May not happen that very moment, that day, that week or month or whatever, but down the line, you'll never. Every time I've gone to these events, there's a connection going on there. Mm-hmm. I'm already talking to somebody from that event that I went to last week where I was like, listen, I just got this thought. Let's pick your brain and whatever. And now we're having conversations about it. That would not have unfolded if I didn't go to that event because I would mm-hmm. never have met that person.
Yeah.
So I've got advantages with the show and then I get invited and all this. I'm going to a manufacturing plant on the 29th, right? And I'm going with a few people because I kept on talking to more people and I'm like, this is what I'm up to. I don't know if this is interesting you, if you want to come. And they're like, sure, I'd love to come. So all of a sudden the group grew from 2-3 people. Now it's at 7 or 8 people. And I'm like, I'm just going there because I'm curious about the manufacturing process behind this company and I want to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And I don't know what'll come from that.
It's cool. Yeah. Those network effects when you see those things happening and groups start to form around an idea.
Doesn't always have to be the major ones. It doesn't have to be like IBS in February. It doesn't have to be like, you know, the concrete show, World of Concrete. That doesn't have to always be though. Those are great, but those are more advanced ones, right? I think you have to, as an individual, plan it. You have to figure out what's my objective here. I'm here for so many days. There's tens of thousands of people here. There's thousands of businesses that are here. Really focus on what you want to target in, right? But these spur of the moments one that there's a bunch coming up. And I like that there's certain brands now coming up with just get-togethers for food. You know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, cool. Let me bump into here because I know that I'm going to bump into people that whether know me from the show or know me from construction or whatever, and I'll have conversations with them. I'll just be like, hey, what's going on? How's it going? Because you get some FaceTime now, which is, I think, really valuable at that point.
Yeah.
So, all the kids have to pay attention to these, right?
Yeah, just get yourself out there and meet people. And yeah, you kind of look at it like later on down your career, it's these butterfly effect moments that you kind of like look back and you keep tracing things back. You're like, oh, that came from like that thing.
Yeah.
And what I always find interesting is like whenever there's something that's I find in my business or life that's stressing me out, I try to reflect on it and I try to do that butterfly effect exercise and go back. And I'm like, okay, what decision did I make like 5 years ago that led me to this?
Yeah.
It's actually a really good exercise. You start to realize certain themes about.
You realize that what you thought was originally a negative is actually turning into a positive.
Yeah. Which I think about this a lot is like, if you really think about there's actually nothing that's objectively good or bad because you'd never know what that thing is leading to. You know, you might think that like, okay, something on a project goes south, but turns out that you ended up meeting somebody that you end up working with in the future that unlocks a level of growth or whatever it might be. Like I missed a bus. I was backpacking in Costa Rica. I missed a bus. I met a girl at a hostel. We're married now. We have a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I was like, oh, I missed that bus. But, so you never know. And you just got to.
But it happens in career options. It happens in career paths. Like you can't. even if it's a bad job, bad project, bad GC, you may have met a tradesperson that you've connected with really well that you're probably going to work together on several projects in the future.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And that has value right there.
And you have to have that long-term perspective when you're doing anything in life or in your career. It's like, you never know where this thing is going to lead to, good or bad. So treat everybody with respect, you know, be an honest human being.
Yep.
And it'll pay dividends like down the line in ways that you can't fathom right now. But I sometimes find that in like in anything in life, but in this industry, I've had some people like, you know, burn us like just along the way, just
construction, Mateo, like, come on.
Yeah. And it's like, but I just think, I'm like, do you just like, you think you just burn a bridge and you don't, you know, you don't see anything beyond.
I look at it like, well, you won't get invited to the table. It's as simple as that later on, right? So yeah. I don't care.
And you burn enough bridges and you've got, you know, so it's just like, treat people well, be authentic, put yourself out there. Industry, it's not as complicated as people make it.
I got plenty of matches, man. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, but I agree with you. But everybody in the younger trades now, there's so much uncertainty now. That's what it is. And I don't think it's a negative. I'm not trying to persuade people to say this is just crap and this construction industry is just getting worse. It's not about that. It's just, now is the time to look at opportunities. Now is the time to figure out how to streamline your business. Even when the pandemic started, I said, listen, now you start paying attention where you're going to move in the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. You have to start figuring out, how do I reshuffle this deck of cards and where is it going to take me next? Mm-hmm. That's what's really, so there's opportunity here, because I've had conversations with old, young, all kinds of trades. They've had their having a hard time, but others are like thriving. And I'm like, so what are they doing that they're not doing? Mm-hmm. So you need to just, and then you'll give them a little bit of insight going, this is what's going on this side of the fence. You might want to look at that or consider that. And then they start working on it, and then it starts to change at that point. So now it's not so much shit. Mm-hmm. Now it's not so much bad, right? So now you're thinking, okay, well, there's prospect here. There's opportunity.
Yeah.
Go from there.
Exactly. Like find the right tools that are going to help you move forward and leverage them. And, you know, to plug U-Build, but like, I genuinely mean this because I want to see the industry move forward. It's like adopting technologies like U-Build to find good people, yeah, or whatever part of your business, like the sooner you get used to using this cutting edge technology,
yeah,
the better off you're going to be and the more familiar you're going to be with it. And it's going to pay dividends down the line.
How long you been at it now? Like the inception, I know you like said on the other show, the like previous show.
4 years maybe?
Yeah.
4 years now? It started off very different than what we're doing,
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Like we built an app, we've rebuilt the app. It's been a lot of ups and downs. So yeah, it's been like 4 years now almost.
You ever had moments, I guess, where you're sitting there going, I want to tap out.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean,
tap out. I'm gone. I'm done.
I think those thoughts actually, they're kind of like invasive thoughts. They pop, yeah, up in anyone's life. No matter how good things are going, you know, you start to have a bad time and you think, yeah, like, okay, I'm going to tap out. This has been such a hard thing to build, and it's still hard every day. Like I know that whenever I have those moments when I'm really stressed or something's not going right, and all I know is like, I just got to get through this day, meditate, just get through it and wake up tomorrow morning and just, it's a fresh day. And so I've just adopted that frame of mind. It's like, okay, I'm just going to do what I can to like get through this day and wake up tomorrow and get back at it. And in those moments of like, should I tap out? Should I do something else? It brings me back to like, why am I doing this?
Yep.
And like, this is much bigger than me. It's much bigger than the stress of that it can impose on me. It's like, I feel like it's like a duty, you know, this is what I'm here to help make this impact right now on this.
No,
thing.
No matter how many days you've been working at this or anybody's working at something, if you tap out and give up on something that you thoroughly believe in, you will spend far more many days regretting.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll kind of fall into this like downward spiral. I feel like you give up on something and it's like, but that said, there's also times in life when you should recognize like, hey, maybe this isn't authentic to me anymore. I don't feel that same drive.
But you guys have been evolving this. You guys have been paying attention to the industry and, yeah, understanding that the business, the tradesperson and the industry is changing.
And that's what's kept it interesting for me, is that I don't like, this feels like day one every day because I'm like, ooh, this is cool. This is a cool new thing. Yeah. We're building, we're constantly evolving and adapting to the industry, which is really exciting. And I love that, you know, just constantly innovating. I think when you're stagnant for too long is when you start to think like, okay, this is boring. That's why you just got to keep, like with your construction business or whatever you're doing, is like, just keep evolving. No matter in yourself personally, keep evolving, keep growing. And life is just interesting because you can unlock different levels.
I've said it over and over. We, as tradespeople, as business owners in construction, we do it all the time when it comes to the skill. Mm-hmm. We're constantly pushing ourselves. We're constantly trying to do something new, trying to discover how to do it better, more efficiently, try to learn how to use this tool, that tool, or whatever it is. But we forget that you have to apply the same principles to build your brand. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think if you revert back to the construction side of things and apply it to this, you grow your business.
Yeah.
Without even realizing you're growing your business. It doesn't stay stagnant at that point, right? Mm-hmm. We listen to so many of the same things that we've done on construction over and over because that's our clientele. But occasionally you get that client who asks you to do something completely different. And now you're excited again. It's like day one.
Yeah.
And you start all over again. But that's what, I guess in construction, just always constantly look for day one.
Yeah.
And it'll keep you on your toes.
Exactly. And when you feel something that's like stressing you out a lot, bear hug that thing and embrace it and be like, hey, like I said, what led me to this? Like, why am I here? Why am I stressed out? Why can't I sleep? And don't keep avoiding. The more you avoid stuff, the more stressful it gets. And that thing that's stressing you out is exactly the thing that you need to solve to unlock whatever next level of your life or of your business. So like, I think that's another piece is like, if you feel like tapping out and giving up, that's exactly the moment. That's perfect timing. That's the time to focus on that thing. And once I started to adopt that mindset, I just, at the beginning of every day, I just take on the most stressful thing I can of that day and just bang it out, get it out of the way and move on. You start to have more respect for yourself and business growth.
Then the day's easy.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah, exactly.
What else you want to share, man? I mean, I'm impressed, man. Like, I'm seriously impressed about what you guys have grown it to, what it's become, and what it's going to become even further down the line.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a lot of effort. It's cool to see, you know, to come and chat with you.
Yeah.
A couple of years later, and show you we're still at it. We're still building, not tapping out.
Well, it's funny to evolve, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, come in here, and you've seen the show grow and how it's going, and we don't know where it's going to go next, and well, I do. I know exactly what's happening and everything, but I like the community. I like that more and more people are trying to come up with little details to contribute to the industry. You know what I mean? To make it that much better. We all know there's parts that are shit. I don't care about that, but there's parts that are huge opportunity, man. New ideas.
I think, like that's exactly it. If you can do your part to contribute a little bit to the greater good of construction, of life every day, you end up finding like a real purpose and meaning in life. You're not just scrapping by trying to like make money or do, you know, screw people over to move forward. It's like, no, like if you'll find a deep sense of growth when you do things for something greater than yourself. So like when you're on a job site, like just look around and just see like, hey, is there someone I can teach something to? What can I do to make this, can I clean up a little bit, you know, do something that's for the next person and that's for the greater good. And
I challenged people online recently. I was just like, listen, I always had the objective of, I got to leave this industry better than I found it. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. So I've been in it for 15. I know what it was 15 years ago. I want to leave it better than what I found it. Am I on that path to leave it better than I found it? I think this show has a lot to do that with that kind of mindset. So I've contributed, I'm still contributing. So I honestly believe that I'm leaving it better than I found it. Whether you agree with me or not, that's up to you. And do I care? I don't. But the thing is, I honestly believe that. So I think if every tradesperson comes in, they do the best they can at their skill and their scope and the work, and they've contributed to the team effort of what they have to achieve, then they're leaving it better than they found it. Mm-hmm. If they want to cut corners and do a shitty job and not really care, it's not going to get you far.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And there's also a direct correlation with like how much, there's actually stats on this. People that help other people get rich. Yep. And you say rich, money, whatever, life, like just help. If you help other people grow, you will grow yourself. So it's like this kind of intersection of self-interest and mutual interest. I think that's like a really nice spot to live. I think what's it called in Japanese culture, it's called like ikigai.
Yep.
It's like the intersection of like what you love, what you're good at, what the world needs, and what you can make money from. And if you find that sweet spot, that pocket,
Have you read it?
I haven't. No.
No, you haven't read it?
No, I haven't.
It's an easy read. Yeah. It's a simple read. It's you can find it on Amazon. It's a really good book.
Oh, sweet.
And it talks about the whole thing. And there's a lot to do with, funny enough, it's talking about health and like there's a health component and there's a eating component attached to it. But there's finding your purpose. Ikigai is all about finding your purpose.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't understand that that's a path you need to go on. Find it. Simple as that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're trying to do with U-Build, help people find that purpose. And that's our purpose, is to help the industry grow, help people gain new skills. And yeah, if I'll leave it, anybody watching this, if you're a worker out there and you're looking for meaningful employment, check out U-Build. If you're an employer looking to hire people, skilled people that are verified and ready for work, check out our website, give us a call, send me an email, we can chat.
So they could just either check it out online, go from there, start up, reach out, email, start the conversation, and then just sign up. Once you signed up, you have access.
Exactly. Yeah. You just punch in your phone number, go to our website, punch in your phone number. One of us will give you a call and we can get you guys set up and help you take the next step.
I'm impressed with it. Honestly, man, I'm very, very impressed. I liked it when you first came on the show and you talked about it. And now that you've taken it to this, I'm wondering what else you guys are think tanking going on right now. Because obviously you guys are paying attention to the industry and figuring out where the holes are. And there's always going to be holes.
Yeah.
Right. That's just how this industry is all about.
Yeah. And there's a lot to build. And I have so many different ideas. It's just a matter of like putting one block down at a time. But eventually, like where we want to get to with this is not just an AI powered construction recruiter, but an AI HR department. So every HR function, hiring, onboarding, training, management, payroll, that's what we're building towards.
Safety,
exactly.
Understanding that you're totally aware of the safety, right? So we get fewer accidents on sites.
Yeah.
And then they also are aware of how to handle those situations if it ever comes up, right? Mm. Amazing, man. Anything else you want to share before we wrap it up?
I think that's it.
I got to ask you the 12 questions.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
We got to do that. But ubuildapp.com, you can find them. You can reach them directly at mateo@ubuild.ai and on under IG, ubuild.ai. What's your favorite construction word or phrase?
Full gut.
Full gut?
Yeah. See these demo guys on Instagram always, full gut.
I've never heard
demoing a whole place. I don't know. It was the first one I thought of.
Oh, full gut.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. Okay, now I was picturing some big beard guy or something like that. Full gut. What's your least favorite tool?
Least favorite tool, table saw.
You don't like table saws?
I didn't really work with them. I was more of a demo guy.
What do you miss from your childhood?
Hockey.
No street hockey allowed in the streets anymore.
Yeah. Oh, really?
They passed a law. Yeah.
Oh, that's bullshit.
100%.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not a hockey person, but that's kids being kids.
Yeah.
Like that's, in my opinion, it's kids. Like I was talking about this. Like, there's no baseball diamonds.
Yeah.
Like you can't play baseball anymore on the baseball diamonds. Kids wise, you can't swing a bat and hit a ball.
Oh, because safety concern. Oh my god.
Break a bone. You're supposed to. What construction sound do you love?
Oh, when you hear a carpenter ripping through a piece of wood, it's satisfying.
What's your favorite beverage?
Favorite beverage? Oh, like a hibiscus tea.
Okay. What turns you on and off in construction?
What turns me on is seeing a finished product of a building come to life. I think that's deeply satisfying. What turns me off is people that try to screw each other over in the industry.
Yeah, 100%.
Just depressing.
Going back to your point about how I do agree with you, how here in Toronto, people get excited that they just diamond pancake glass and that was the facade of the building. And then I look at older pictures, most of the time are black and white, and you've got gargoyles and you've got metal fabrication of, birds, eagles,
and men and women, well, men standing on it, working on it, taking a photograph on it. And I'm like, I want to see more of that. Today's construction or architecture is not really doing anything for me.
It went too minimalist. That's what I noticed is like there used to be like minimalism that was like a style, and now it's minimalism out of like laziness, and it's just, you know, things feel flat. I agree. I'd love to see more ornate kind of like artistic.
I think it'd be a challenge to try to build like a Brooklyn Bridge of today.
Oh yeah. Like, we can't build the pyramids, can't build anything we used to be able to.
Favorite curse word?
Darn.
Darn. I don't know. Darn. What's your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
I currently drive a 1997 Nissan Pathfinder.
Oh, with the hitch on the back?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got a snorkel on it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a fun ride.
I don't know what they did with the new ones, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't keep
and I'm saying that in a certain tone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's a good one. Yeah. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
I'd love to build like a wellness resort, like outside of the tech space, kind of an in-person community type of business, people to come and reset.
That's pretty cool.
Relax like in the jungle.
That's pretty well. You could probably just do it in urban Toronto.
Yeah.
What profession would you not like to do?
Oh, like an accounting job. I'd lose my mind.
But that's, you're like, you're helping everybody out with something similar.
Well, I that's because I didn't like to do this admin stuff. That's okay. Why I built this,
that's
product.
Why you built it. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Well done.
Mateo, man, it's great to see you again.
Yeah,
bro.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for sneaking it in and keep up the good work. Keep me posted on what's happening next, and we'll go from there, man.
Of course. And here, a departing gift. I brought you a...
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
That's actually the OG logo. That was like the first one we made.
I remember that.
That's the last hat with the OG logo on it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, man.
I know. I see you got your collection over there.
People have been sending me hats. There's t-shirts underneath the table. Everyone knows that I wear them in like different shows. I just put it on and then I like doing the shout out. Simple as that, right?
Nice.
So now people reach out to me going, what's your address and what's your size? And like, so they guess they know that I'll wear it. I'll put it on the show, right?
So I know who to send a shirt to then.
That's it. XL. Don't give me anything smaller than an XL. But yeah. Mateo, thank you. Always a pleasure, man. Good to see you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Likewise, Manny. Cheers.
Thank you. That's it. We're out of here.